Good afternoon. I'm going to talk on the effect of high temperature stress on growth, development, and yield of finger millet. I'm the author, Rachel. Dr. Prasad is my co-author, and Dr. Mary Beth Karkam is my co-author. We are from the Department of Agronomy of Kansas State University. So I know most of you here would not, maybe have not seen finger millet. It's in the family Chloridoidae, and it's of the genus Eleusine. So finger millet actually is a cereal, small-seeded cereal. The panicle is shaped just like you see. It has characters that the panicle is shaped like fingers, and hence the name. But the grain is actually found on the fingers of the panicle. So it is in the genus Eleusine, Coracana, as I've said. And this is the map showing the millet growing areas of the world. And millets generally comprise of several groups of millets. We have the panicums, we have the cetarias, foxtail, and bulrush millet, quite a large group of millets. But panicum is the one mostly grown. I think in the US, panicum, is the one that is widely grown. But finger millet actually originated from this part of Africa, the eastern highlands of Ethiopia, and it is widely grown in the eastern, central, and southern part of Africa. It's also grown in parts of India, Nepal in the highlands, and also in Pakistan. And also somebody told me that they grow it in China and also Japan. So it is widely grown in those parts of the world, and it's a very useful crop. It's a very useful cereal, particularly because it is a rich source of protein. It's a rich source of fiber and minerals and also vitamins. One of the characteristics that is really good about this crop as a food crop is because it is very low. It has a very low glycemic index, and it is also gluten-free. So people who are diabetic would rather eat finger millet as a cereal. And it's a safe food for diabetics, and it's also safe for people with celiac disease. Many people now in the world are suffering from this disorders, especially food disorders. They are allergic to some of these grains, especially wheat, which contain gluten. And so they may be advised to eat finger millet instead. So it has also outstanding properties as a livestock feed, and it has up to 61% digestible nutrients as a livestock feed. Finger millet also has potential as a bioenergy crop because it produces a lot of biomass, so it's being considered also as a bioenergy crop. And we are conducting some studies in Kansas State University to address this particular issue. So as I've said, finger millet is quite an important crop, especially in those parts of the world where it is grown. But we know that as much as it's an old crop, it's really one of the oldest crops cultivated by mankind. It's now faced by future challenges, chief among them being the climate change and climate variability, which is expected to have adverse effects on crop production worldwide. So our work really is to determine whether this crop is going to face this great challenge. And so we conducted a trial to determine the effects of temperature stress on this crop, particularly finger millet, because not much work has been done on this crop. It's, by the way, one of the most under-researched crops in the world. So work has been done on sorghum, cotton, and all these other crops, but no work has been done on the response of finger millet to high temperature stress. So our objective was to determine the effect of high temperature stress on growth, development, and yield of finger millet. So this experiment was conducted, as I said, in the Department of Agronomy, Kansas State University. The first year we did this trial was in 2009. We repeated it again in 2010. And we started off in a growth chamber. We grew this genotype, we grew it in the growth chamber under controlled environment conditions. We had 30 pots per growth chamber, and the experimental design was completely randomized design. So the treatments were as follows. In 2009, first we grew the plants in 32 degrees daytime maximum, 22 degrees nighttime minimum, And after 30 days, we subjected the crops to various treatment levels. So we had the optimum temperature set at 22 degrees in 2009, the same for 2010. Again, the second treatment was high temperature one, which was 36.26, and 36.26 again in 2010. High temperature two, we set it at 40 for 2009, but we changed that to 38.28 in 2010 because the plants under this condition did not survive beyond vegetative stage. So we thought we'd reduce the temperatures to 38.28 so we'd have good results in 2010. Relative humidity in the growth chamber was set at 85% in all the growth chambers. This was not varied. So the only treatment that was varied was the temperature treatment. And the pots were watered daily to keep the moisture, to keep the plants at pot capacity moisture level. Growth and development was monitored between 30 days after sowing and 114 days after sowing. And we took data on the flag leaf of five randomly selected plants from the growth chamber. Actually, what we were doing was to move the plants around in the growth chamber at random so they would have a kind of random effect of treatment in the various sections of the growth chamber. And this is how the plants were looking like in the growth chamber. So we took physiological traits, measuring using the LI6400 portable photosynthesis system, and data was analyzed using the PROC GLM SAS9.1. So coming to results and discussion, we found that finger millet was actually adversely affected by high temperature stress. Chief among them was the chlorophyll content, which we found that was decreased. Plant had was drastically reduced by high temperature stress. Leaf area, leaf dry weight and stem dry weight was also decreased. And panicle dry weight also was decreased by high temperature stress. All the factors that contribute to yield were adversely affected by high temperature stress. So this table just shows how the effects, shows clearly the effects of high temperature stress on plant height, leaf area, leaf dry weight, stem dry weight, panicle dry weight, and finger length, and also the seed weight of the various of the plants in the growth chamber. So as you can see, at optimum temperature, the plants did fairly well. At high temperature one, there was a decrease from optimum. You can see the decrease. And at high temperature two, there was also quite a decrease. And this happened, this trait actually occurred in all the parameters tested. And you can see from up to, at this point in this growth chamber, there were no plants from which to take any data because the plants had all died out from that high temperature. So the chlorophyll content we measured, we found that at optimum temperature, there was an increase in chlorophyll content in the plants in the growth chamber up to that point where it remained stable. And at high temperature one, there wasn't much increase and the plants remained at the same level. But at high temperature two, there was actually a decline in the level of chlorophyll content in the leaves of the plants, up to a point where the plants died off, and we didn't take any more data from that. And this is a visual picture showing how the plants actually performed. And you can see at optimum temperature, the plants are fairly tall. At high temperature one, they were shorter, significantly shorter relatively. And also at high temperature two, up to that point, they were very, very short. So the panicles were also affected, and this is also a visual picture of what happened in the growth chambers. So the panicles here were quite filled, but at high temperature one, there was only few grains on the panicles. High temperature two, of course, the plants did not reach that stage, so there was nothing in that growth chamber. So we further tested this. This is the 2010 experiment, and we had also similar response from plant height, leaf number, leaf area, leaf dry weight, and stem dry weight. So as you can see that there was a decline from optimum temperature to high temperature two of finger millet plants. And this picture shows the response of high temperature stress to the physiological traits of finger millet. You can see that leaf photosynthesis was affected, but it was higher at high temperature 1, lower at high temperature 2, and also low at high temperature at optimum temperature. Leaf transpiration was also influenced by high temperature. Transpiration was highest at high temperature 2, and chlorophyll content was fairly high for optimum and high temperature 1, but very low at high temperature 2. And leaf temperature, of course, was highest at high temperature 1. So you can see that finger millet was actually adversely affected by high temperature stress. So from this experiment, we concluded that high temperature stress during crop growth influenced leaf temperature, transpiration, chlorophyll content, and photosynthesis. And this had an effect on the growth, development, and yield of finger millet. And so we thought that there's need to determine ways to mitigate these impacts on finger millet production. And one of the ways is to screen various accessions which are available to identify mechanisms of tolerance of high temperature stress. And there's work going on at ICRISAT, which is the International Crops Research Institute for Semi-Arid Tropics. And they have a large, huge gene bank where they have the accessions from which we can select we can actually screen the accessions to find varieties which are genotypes which are tolerant to high temperature stress. And so, with that, I'd like to acknowledge the following people: Ogallala Aquifer Program, the Insomil Program, Center for Sorghum Improvement, my department, my major advisor, and colleagues in Crop Physiology Lab. Thank you.
Any questions? I noticed that there was a fair amount of difference in the crop growth rates on your stress treatments from 2009 to 2010.
Yeah.
Did we have different cultivars, or was there something else that you attribute those differences in growth rate? That was 2009, they really suffered. 2010, it looked like they were doing reasonably well.
Yes, like I told you, when we did the experiment in 2009, we set the high temperature 2 at 40 daytime maximum and 30 nighttime minimum. That was fairly high. And so we decided to reduce the temperatures because we wanted to have at least some data at the end of the experiment. So we reduced that high temperature 2 to 38, 28. And in 2010, we got some crops growing in that growth chamber up to maturity. So that's why there was a difference. But the genotype was one. We used only one genotype. We did not have many.
Yes, I did not understand well why you have a positive effect on total leaf number by high temperatures. Which is the total leaf number? The number of the main kelm or also including the tillers?
No, the main plant.
Uh-huh.
It has been found even in sorghum that at high temperature stress, the leaves can tend to grow more than under optimum temperature. There's more leaf proliferation than under optimum temperature.
In the main kelm.
Yeah, in the main kelm. Yeah.
Your high temperature stress at 36.26.
Yeah.
It's probably very common in Africa.
Yes, it's common in Africa. And since we conducted this experiment, we conducted it in Kansas. So we wanted to see the ideal conditions for Kansas. But 36.26 is common in Africa, although finger millet does better, even in Africa, much better under lower temperatures. So we thought that would be a high temperature stress.
And
yeah.
In one of the tables you show, they didn't do physiologically. It seems like they have fairly good photosynthesis rate and leaf numbers and leaf area.
Yeah.
For some reason, actually they also flower, but not as good. Maybe the light.
No, it is the effect of the high temperature on seed development. It will flower all right, but the seeds will not develop and fill because of the high temperature stress. There is a breakdown in the metabolism during high temperature stress that makes them not fail, the seeds. The pollen is, the pollen is not, it does not develop into seed.
So discussion to be continued.
Okay.